Thank you so much, Andrea, for that worship and song this morning. And it really does go along with the sermon this morning, as we are talking about the great harvest that we have, the great harvest of souls that is out there that's ripe for the picking, that just needs someone to go and tell about them. You know, here we are. We're at the beginning of a new year. You know, we all view this as kind of like a new chapter in our lives, if you want to call it that. A time for us to reflect, to do things differently that we may have done than we did at previous years. You know, many people, millions of people around this time make resolutions to do things, to be better, to change their lives. And while there's nothing wrong with resolutions, many times, you know, they don't keep them for like the first couple months, and then they fall off. They don't keep them anymore. And so we see that, and we see that time and time again. Pretty much between now and the rest of the month, any sales papers you see for Target or other places like that will be advertising workout apparel, workout equipment, all these things to get you to buy stuff, to buy more stuff. You know, many people will go out and they'll spend money on a treadmill, on workout machines, things like that. You know, I saw a cartoon this week where a man was in a sporting goods store. He was looking at a treadmill. The salesman came to him and said, "This is our deluxe model. It'll hold 8 pairs of pants, 10 shirts, and an overcoat." And as we all know, and has happened many times in our house, whatever exercise equipment that you buy, usually by about April, June, the middle of the year, becomes more like a clothes rack than an exercise equipment. Many people, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with resolutions. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to do things better in this year. But for us as Christians, we should have resolutions that we don't break. We stay true to all year and every year. Those involve Bible study, prayer, but also it involves witnessing. It involves going and telling others about Christ, witnessing to others. And that's what we'll be looking at today. We'll be seeing that, you know, this is our mission, to go and to tell others about Christ. In our lesson, in our passage today, we'll be looking at Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. And this is, you know, we may have heard this many times, but we're going to look at it and we're going to think about it and view things. So Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. "And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this good day and for this opportunity that we do have to come and to hear your word today. Lord, help us to take what we hear, to apply it to our lives, to see the harvest. That there are many people that need to know Christ. There are many people that are hopeless. And you can provide the hope that they need to get through whatever situation they're going through. And Lord, just help us to remember that and to be telling others as we go throughout this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we see here, you know, Jesus was going throughout the regions where he was at. In this case, he was in Galilee. He was going all over the place, telling others, sharing the gospels in all the towns and villages. This sums up Jesus' ministry. The thing is, he went where people would need him. He knew, of course, where they would need him, but he went to where people would hear, people would know, people would understand. And that he didn't go to one place in an area and say, "Okay, everyone come to me." No, he went out. He went to places. He went to people where they were at. He went to people where no one else would go. He went to people who were hurting, people who were sick, people who were outcast in society. He went to them. He helped anyone and everybody that needed help. And he did this everywhere he went. And they went out from them and they were changed. Their lives were changed because of the encounter they had with Jesus. You know, we also see in this first verse that Jesus taught in the synagogues. He went to where people were at again. He knew that people, and of course he was going to a lot of Jewish areas in here, so they were in the synagogues throughout the week. He went there. He made a point to go there. He went to where his ministry would have the most widespread effect, where he would be able to tell others about Christ, and they would be able to go and tell their friends and tell others and get excitement going about that he was there. And you know, he didn't just meet the spiritual needs of people. And we see this throughout his ministry. Yes, everyone who affected him, who was affected by him, their lives were changed spiritually. But he also met their physical needs. You look at it. He caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. He healed all these people. He cast out demons. He did all these things. He met not only their spiritual needs, but the physical needs that they had. And you even look at the story of the feeding of 5,000 men. He met their hunger needs that they had as well. So he met their physical needs and their spiritual needs. Yes, the main focus of his ministry was meeting people's spiritual needs. But as well, he met their physical needs. You know, this is something that we can do. And a lot of times, whenever you meet someone's physical needs, that opens them up to hearing the gospel, to hearing about Jesus. There's no better example of that than the Baptist Men's Disaster Relief Program. These men and women, they go into these areas that are hit with natural disasters. Yes, they provide spiritual needs, but you know what? They first of all, they provide laundry services for them because they don't have a place. They may not have electricity. And they may only have one or two pairs of clothes because that's all they could grab on their way out. They meet their hunger needs. They give them food, feed them food trucks, all these things. And then they also go in and they help tear out the damaged areas, the damaged wood, the damaged drywall, all those things. And then they help build back. They help build back. They meet those needs. And how many opportunities has that opened for people to hear the gospel? I've heard many people who wouldn't hear the gospel otherwise were open to hearing the gospel at that moment because someone cared enough to just meet a need that we may view as small. These men and women, they take their skills and their abilities and their resources, and they go out and they help people with ultimately the goal of sharing the gospel with people. And that's how we should be as Christians. You know, we may not be skilled, we may not be talented in construction, because I'm pretty sure I would destroy more than I help build up when it comes to that, because I am not very handy myself. But there are other things that we can do, other places we can go to meet both the physical and spiritual needs of people. You know, and it could be something as small as, on a hot day, going to a park and giving someone a nice cold bottle of water with a gospel message on it. Going to a park one day or going somewhere and giving people 9-volt batteries to replace their smoke detectors. Because we all know that those, I don't know about you all, but for me, I don't check it as often as I should. But yet, that's something small. Just put a small gospel message in there. Those little things that you do can have a big impact on someone being open to hearing God's word, being open to hearing the gospel, who may have been closed before. You know, there's many things that we can do in 2021. I mean, we are still in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's going around. Numbers are continuing to go up. There are still many things that we can do to reach out. People right now are hopeless. But yet, we have a hope that we can give them, that we can share with them to tell others about Christ. Let's be sharing the gospel every day, sharing the gospel with people that we come in contact with. You know, we've seen the method of Jesus' ministry in this first verse. As we go on, we'll see that he saw the needs out there. He saw that the needs were great for people, and he felt compassion for them. He wanted to see them come to and have the hope that he was offering, the hope that he was giving people. He wanted people to have that. When Jesus looked on the crowds, he had compassion on them. He was hurting for them. He was empathizing with them because they were hopeless and harassed and helpless, as we see in the passage here. They didn't have the hope that he was looking for. And he longed for everyone to be changed by that hope, everyone to accept the hope that he offers. Jesus wanted that. He wanted that. He saw them and he had great compassion. You know, there are many that were not following him still at this time and still today. You know, they were getting pulled about by false teachers. People like we are today. There are many false teachers in the world today who put on something that looks similar to what we're used to as far as the gospel. But yet, it's not the true gospel. It adds things, subtracts things to what we need and to what God has. He saw that they were harassed. He saw that they were harassed. When we think of the word harassed, a lot of times we think of that constant pestering of someone else, right? You know, we think of constant like someone's, you know, almost nagging you, harassing you about something or something. And so we see that. But while that does that, it also has an additional meaning to it. Several other Bible translations translate that word differently in here. The New American Standard Bible translates it as distressed. The Amplified Bible translates it as bewildered. And the Holman Christian Standard Bible translates it as weary. All these go along with this other definition that you find in the dictionary about harassed. And it is torment as with trouble or cares. So think about this. These people, they were tormented with everything that was going on in their lives. They were overwhelmed with the struggles that they were facing. All these things they were, but yet they were bothered persistently by it. He saw that. He saw they were tormented. He wanted them to have the hope that he could have. He wants everyone to have that. They were tormented with everything and all the stress they had, and he knew the gospel was the answer. He knew that what he was preaching would give them that hope, would give them the ability to, yes, we may be going through troubles. We may be dealing with issues. We may be dealing with disease. All these things in our lives, we may be tormented by whatever you're tormented with, whatever you're dealing with today. Jesus Christ has the hope to get you through that. The hope that no matter what you're going through, he's there. He's the same no matter what is going on in the world. He also saw that they were helpless. They were helpless. They were unable to take care of themselves. They needed someone to come in. They needed someone to guide them, to direct them, to give them that hope, to look out for them. You know, the nation of Israel, and we think about this and we read this, you know, they couldn't take care of themselves. You know, they may end up hurting themselves. It's like Hannah Joy. You know, she's almost two. She really can't take care of herself. Babies cannot take care of themselves. Whenever they try to take care of themselves, it's almost disastrous in the results. They could hurt themselves, harm themselves, but also, they can make a huge mess. We've all seen pictures of these babies surrounded by, you know, a whole entire box of Cheerios or Cheez-Its or whatever snack they have and they love. We've all seen those pictures. We've all seen those pictures. This is how the nation of Israel was in Jesus' day. They didn't have someone to guide them. They didn't have someone to look out for them, look out for their best interests, to protect them. They didn't have a kingdom of their own. Everyone in this time was looking out for their own selves. That was leaders in the nation of Israel. And the people were walking around aimlessly. They're walking around aimlessly. It says that they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, sheep without a shepherd go wherever they want to. You know, sheep aren't sometimes the smartest creatures in the world. Sheep follow and follow and follow. They follow direction. But if they get out on their own, they can't. They need a leader. They need a shepherd. They need someone to guide them. They need a direction. Throughout the Bible, we see that the nation of Israel and the leaders of the nation of Israel are compared to shepherds. In Numbers chapter 27, whenever it's talking about Joshua taking over for Moses, it says, "The Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." They need leadership. People need leadership. And it's the responsibility of the shepherd to protect the sheep, to look out for the sheep, to make sure that they don't go where they're not supposed to go, to protect them if a vicious animal comes in and attacks them. We see that, and we see that time and time again in the Bible. We see that term shepherd come up. We see that come up so many times. So many times. You know, how many times, you know, how do you see people when you go out in the world? You know, we may see people who are homeless, people who are on the side of the road, people who can't do things themselves. How do you view those people? Do you have compassion for them? Do you have hatred for them? Like, you know, can't believe that someone's homeless? What's your reaction when it comes to those people? You know, if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that people are quick to lose hope. People are quick to lose hope. Yes, 2020 was a rough year from March on. And we're going to be dealing with everything into 2021, a good deal. People put their hope in faith, in government, in financial things, in the economy. You know, those things that aren't certain, those things that will burn up in a fire. Not things that are true, not things that are stable. They put their faith and hope in these things, in these man-made concepts. And when they fail, they get depressed and they're tormented. And they lose hope by everything that's going on in their lives. They need something that will pull their hope up that will never fail. We as Christians have that. We have the hope knowing that Jesus is there. He will never fail, no matter what's going on in the world. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows what's going on in there. He gives strength to those that are weak. He gives hope to the hopeless. He helps those that need it. He gives us the abilities to do things, even though, and get through things that we may view as we can't do. He can do that for us, and He's there for us no matter what goes on in the world. We should want and desire for all those that we come in contact with to know this hope. To know this hope, to know this hope that we have, that yes, we go through rough times, yes, we struggle, yes, we deal with issues in our lives, but yet we can get through them, knowing that we have one beside us who's going to come along and pick us up, knowing we have one who's going to be there no matter what goes on. Jesus is in control and cares for them, and that's the message that we need to tell people. We see that Jesus had compassion on people when he was out. You know, but he also, there were many people that needed to hear the gospel. Not everyone came to hear him, but there are others that needed to be told. Others that he had to go to and tell. And as we see in the passage in verse 37, it says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." We see that the harvest is vast. The harvest is great. There's many that need to hear the gospel. There are many people in our world today that need to hear the gospel. While we don't know exactly how many people were on earth during the time of Jesus' ministry, it's estimated that there were between 170 and 400 million people on earth at the time of Christ. You know, and that seems like a lot, but it's nothing compared to what's happened in the past 2,000 years. We're currently sitting at about 7.8 billion people on earth. 7.8 billion people. That's a lot. That's a lot. Let me put it in perspective for you. So if you took 1 minute to share the gospel with someone, and you did that consistently every minute of every hour of every day, it would take you 14,840 years to tell 7.8 billion people about Christ. That is an overwhelming task. No one person can do that alone. No one person can do that alone. No one person could, Jesus couldn't reach out to all the 170 million people that were on earth at his time. He needed the disciples to help. And the church grew dramatically. And as we sit and we think about, yes, there's 7.8 billion people, but how many people are true Christians in the world today? If we look at evangelical Christians, those that believe similar to we do across several denominations, We see those, there's an estimated in 2016 about 619 million evangelical Christians in the world. That's just a mere 7% of the population. 7% of the population. So 7% of the world's population has the hope in Jesus Christ. That is a small number. That is a small number and just shows how great the harvest truly is. There are so many people out there who need to hear this. There's such a great ripe for harvest. There are many who are looking for something. They turn to the government, which fails more often than it helps. They're looking to people who fail more often than they help. They're looking to the economy, which who knows what's going to happen in the economy. It goes up and down. Who knows what's going to happen? They turn to these false gods, thinking they're going to give them hope. But they don't. Only Jesus could give that hope. And as we saw, with just a mere 7% of the population, evangelical Christians, the laborers are few. Because there are even fewer percentage of those who go and tell the gospel, who go and tell others. The Gospel Coalition did a survey, and they found that 75% of those that attended church frequently felt comfortable in sharing the gospel with someone else. Of those, about 50% had never invited anyone to church or shared the gospel with someone else. And the numbers went up little bit by one person and two person. And it was even, I think it was like 10% had shared with three or more people in their lives. Three or more people in our lives. I think many times we get in our comfort zone. We get in a comfort zone. We are in the United States of America. We are in North Carolina, in the Bible Belt, supposedly. And we think about it, and there's like, oh, everyone around here is a Christian. That's not the case. People may say they're a Christian, but do they follow through as Christians? I mean, I passed six or seven churches on 87 from 85 to Mount Olive Church Road this morning. And that's not including the probably double that number where there are signs pointing off. And that's just in a 15, 20 minute ride from 85. And yes, there are many churches here, but very few are Christians. Churches are closing up more rapidly than they're opening, the new churches are coming about. We see this. Just because we live in an area where there's so many churches, it doesn't mean the churches are full. The churches are struggling now. Not many people are going to church. There are many people who need to hear the gospel, many people who need to be told the gospel. And you know, it's kind of like telling someone the gospel is kind of like a seed. That's why it's referred to as the harvest. Because you put a seed in the ground for flowers or plants or whatever it is, and you have to take care of it. You have to tend it before you can cultivate it. You just can't put a seed in the ground and then just expect it to grow. You have to add fertilizer, water, all these other things. And I don't know a lot about plants, so I may be wrong. But I mean, I know that's what Holly does sometimes. But there's all these, it's a process. I read in a book whenever I was in college that it takes about seven times for someone to hear the gospel before they come to Christ. Sometimes it may be the first time. Sometimes they may have to hear 50 or 100 times. It's a process. It's not something easy. Going out and gardening is not easy. Those of you who have gardens know that. You get out there, you have to work and weed. And if you have flowers, you have to weed and do all these things to help keep your garden nice and fresh. We have to do the same thing when it comes to people. We have to tend and cultivate those relationships. We have to tell people about Christ. Sometimes more than one time. More than one time. We should be telling people about Christ. You know, we see this great need, and the harvest is vast, and there's few that are willing to go out and work in the fields. How can we as Christians help with this harvest? How can we help with this? We see in the last verse, in verse 38, that we should pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest field. We should always pray for more people to come to Christ, more people to start witnessing, more people to tell others. We should be people of prayer. We should be praying for people to go and be missionaries overseas, to tell others who have never heard, because there are many unreached people in the world, people that have never heard the gospel, people that don't know anything about Jesus. We should be praying for people to go and tell them. There's a website, it's called the Joshua Project. It's a website and it talks about unreached people groups and people groups that have the gospel. It says that there are 17,439 people groups in the world. And I know that sounds like a lot, as we have about 200 some countries. But you think about it. It's talking about like maybe the Turkish people in the United States, the Turkish people in England. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about people groups. So whenever you think about it that way, and we all know that whenever you go to a place, a lot of times you go to a place and people congregate together from the same country, from the same nationality, because they have something in common. Of those, the people groups in the world, 7,413, or 42.5% of people, have no gospel witness at this time. No gospel witness. And then, of course, the numbers go up from there. Some have like barely a little bit of gospel witness. Some have that. There's even, you know, and it's even greater. It's even more than probably 75% of the people groups have very little gospel witness in the world. It's amazing to think and to look at that, have very little evangelical witness. Some people have never heard of Jesus. Once again, we live in America. We live in the South. Everyone's heard of Jesus. Everyone's heard of God. Or so we think, anyways. But how can they know about him if they haven't told? If no one tells them? How will someone know anything if you don't tell them? That's why communication is so important in a marriage. Because if you don't tell each other what's going on, there can sometimes be fights and troubles and trials. Because trust me, I know each and every single one of us have dealt with that in some ways or another who are in a relationship. They have. But yet, Romans 10:14 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? How can someone know about Jesus if we never tell them? If we never tell them. We need to pray for the Lord to raise up people to go and tell others. And we also see that we need to have a sense of urgency. We see here in the verse it says, pray earnestly. Earnestly pray for the Lord. The truth of the matter is that when we're excited about something, we can't wait to tell someone else about that. We have that sense of urgency. If there was an awesome game this weekend and you're coming to work or church or somewhere, how many times are you so excited to talk to someone that you know, maybe they like the same team you do or whatever it is, and you can't wait to tell them about that. You can't wait to tell them about the game, which in all reality has nothing to do with eternity. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with liking sports. But sometimes we get more excited about sports than we do about Jesus. We get more excited about these things in the world than we do about Jesus. And we lose that sense of urgency. We're like, sit there and talk to somebody. We'll talk to them about what's going on with sports, or what's going on in the world, or what's going on with the election, or whatever's going on in our lives. We'll talk to them about that, but we won't talk to them about what really truly matters most of all, their eternal security in heaven. We'll sit back, we'll wait, we'll say, I'll talk to them tomorrow, or I'll talk to them later. The truth of the matter is, not one single one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. I don't mean to get morbid, but we don't know what can happen on the way home. We don't know what's going to happen overnight. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, the next. We don't know. God may have other plans for us. That's why it's so important for us to tell others about Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to go out and tell others about Christ so that they can have that hope and that security, knowing that if something happens tomorrow, today, that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. They have that hope. That's what we need to pray for. That's what we need to do. And have that sense of urgency to tell others. And you're just not off the hook for doing it yourself. We're called ourselves to go out. Yes, we're to pray for others. But I also believe that we need to pray for ourselves. That God would give us opportunities. God would give us the abilities. God would give us the sense of urgency to go and tell others about Christ. I think many times we put off witnessing as the job of pastors and missionaries. And yes, while that is part of our job, that's part of our work, that's part of what we do, each of us are called to go into the mission field. You all have a mission field of your own. You have friends, family members, co-workers, all these people that pastors don't have the influence over, don't have the trust of. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be missionaries and go into all the world. We need to be looking for ways to tell others about Christ, to tell others about what He's done for us, what He's done in our lives, so that they can have the same hope that we do. The early church grew greatly because people in the church went out, shared the gospel with others, told others, and it grew dramatically. It grew fast. Despite persecution, despite all that was going on in the world at the time, it grew by leaps and bounds. As I mentioned earlier, there's an estimated 619 million evangelical Christians in the world. If each of those people would share the gospel, let's just say it was just 12 people, one person a month, and let's just say that in an ideal world, one of those 12 people came to know Christ in the next year, evangelical Christianity would then become 1.2 billion people. And if we did that again and again and again, we'd get to that point. Now, once again, that's an ideal world. Because how many of those 619 evangelical Christians are going to tell others about Christ? How many of those 619 evangelical Christians are even faithful in their Bible reading? Faithful in church attendance? We don't know. But yet we all have the responsibility to tell others about Christ. As we've seen today, there's a great many people in the world that need the gospel. They need to be told about Christ. They need to be told about Him. They put their hope in things that will burn up. Not in things that are secure. Not in things that are going to stay true. We as Christians put our hope in God, knowing that He's always in control. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what's going on, He is in control. And that can give us the hope to get through everything that we need to share for the lost. As we go out this week, this year, let's be looking for ways to share the gospel with others. Looking for ways to share the gospel with those that we encounter in our lives. As musicians prepare to come forward, you know, let me just think for a minute about everything we've talked about. First of all, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you have the hope that He provides? Do you know for sure that He's there? For sure that He is going to be there no matter what? Are you a Christian? If not, today is the day of salvation. Secondly, for us as Christians, are we telling others about Christ? Do we tell others about the hope that we have? Knowing that He's there for us. Each of us has a mission field that needs to be cared for. Let's make sure that as we go through 2021, that we, this year will be the year that we become witnesses for Christ where we're at. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for this good day and for this opportunity You've given us to come and to hear Your word. And Lord, as we go out today, help us to be actively seeking opportunities to go and tell others about Christ. Help us to be looking for our ways to meet the needs of others so they'll be open and receptive to Your word. And just help us go throughout today to do everything to Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be down here if you need me to pray with you. Thank you.
decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind
Dear Heavenly Father, today, as we begin this new year, Lord, we know that the harvest is plentiful, Lord. We know that as we are making plans for ourselves and our families for this coming year, Lord, may your plan for us, may your plan for your church, the plan that you set in place so many years ago, Lord, the purpose of this church, may we also seek to live it out. May we look beyond ourselves, beyond our walls, Lord, and find those who are in need, find those who have the biggest need, Lord, and that is for you to know you and for the salvation that you can bring. As we leave this place, go with us, keep us safe, but also help us to be bold and powerful and to speak for you. In your name we pray. Amen.